Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. Oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, we're about to jump into a thing we call the Grand Council. Before I do that, I got to remind you guys, the Grand Council is brought to you by Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team over there, listen, they are doing amazing, cool stuff. You can find out more about them at their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. But Inspire Advisors right now, in the month of October and November, is offering classes right now to help you do deep dives into how to do your retirement planning, risk management, and do it all with what they call biblically responsible investing, making sure you keep all the woke out of your investment portfolio. So yeah, Inspire Advisors, sponsor of the Grand Council. We appreciate it. Let's get moving. All right. Listen, this is a thing we do once a week called the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio who've been doing it a lot longer than me, and they just let me hang out. But let me just call the roll. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, editor-in-chief for 1819 News and writes for Breitbart and a whole bunch of other stuff. Jeff Poor, how you doing?
I'm present.
You are indeed. Thank you, sir. And then from up yonder in the northern part of our listening area, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN, the host of the Dale Jackson Show, program manager extraordinaire. Oh, by the way, writes for Yellowhammer and does a bunch of other stuff, too. Dale Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I also apparently make donuts for the Phil Williams.
Yes, you do.
Group, Right Side Media.
Listen, got to make the donuts, man. Okay. Make the donuts. All right, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, JP.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. All right, let me go to the head donut maker for Right Side Media. That'd be Dale Jackson. First question, what you got, dude?
All right, so the Northern Beltline is going to cost $5 billion for 52 miles. Now, I'm not a math guy here, so maybe JP can help us out here.
I'm not either.
The road from the beach to Tennessee is going to be 360 miles. So we're looking at, I don't know, trying to do the math here in my brain, but it's going to be roughly $39 billion to get that done. Are we ever going to do it?
You know, can we just go ahead and just scratch out the ground, make it a dirt road, and say this lane for four-wheel drive only, and just save ourselves the trouble? I mean, what in God's name? $5 billion for the Northern Beltway. I hadn't even seen that yet, but you know what? I don't doubt it. And that's a regulatory issue. That is literally making it so difficult to build a road that the costs go up exponentially. And then, oh, by the way, it's also, you know, asphalt costs money, and it costs more money in the Biden economy. $5 billion. Jeff, weigh in.
So the Northern Beltline is part of the Appalachian Regional Corridor that they had come up with, like, what, in the 60s or something?
Yeah.
The Northern Beltline's the last component of that. The reason why it's so expensive is it's so mountainy between that northern going over that northern terrain of Birmingham. The widening of 65, I aside from having to replace a few bridges, it's pretty easy or pretty inexpensive to widen a highway. Now, it's a long way, but,
you're questioning my math?
Question everything, Jeff.
It's existing road, and all you do is you come in and you just add that extra lane. Where it gets cost prohibitive will be through some of the metropolitan areas where it's already six lanes, but yeah, I guess you've got to add, if you're going down, like, 65 south of Birmingham, there's a bunch of bridges. You can't just add a lane on bridges. You have to redo the entire bridge and overpasses. If you think about it, you can't just add a lane there either. You got to try to figure out how to wind those overpasses. So I think it's way more doable, probably way more doable than the Northern Beltline.
So I guess I'm a little lost on the geography then. Where is the Northern Beltline from where to where?
So from Trussville, it'll circle up to around Gardendale. And then it'll connect and head south and go around that northwestern sort of part of Birmingham, Arkadelphia Road, and down into 59.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. And that's $5 billion for that?
I mean, and they have I don't know, it was like a mile and a half portion of it they're working on right now. It's just a road to nowhere.
That's just ungodly. It's your own question, Dale. What are your thoughts on it?
I just think, you know, it's just not something that all gets done at once. I mean, even if Will Ainsworth were to run on that and get elected, I just don't know how many of those, how many bites at that you're going to actually get. Like, how many of those pieces you're going to be able to get done in the 4-8 year term or whatever that he's going to be there. And Jeff, I think, laid it out pretty well. You know, they've come up with this original plan win in the 60s. And
yeah, well,
we
and let me tell you what's going on here. This is very, very important. That's an all federal funded project. So the state doesn't have to put money into it because it's that Appalachian Regional Corridor. It's the same with like 72 that runs in the northern part of the state, and the same with Highway 24 down like Moulton into Franklin County. But the other deal of that is you have these real estate developers that want the, like, the Hoover became Hoover for what it is. When 459 crossed 39 there,
okay.
And 459 really changed the over-the-mountain suburbs.
You're starting to sound people, a lot like James Spann telling us everywhere in the state.
Yeah, there are people, real estate developers, who believe a northern Beltline would do for North Birmingham what 459 did for those southern suburbs, over-the-mountain suburbs in Birmingham in the 70s and 80s.
I don't know. We'll see. I think the jury's still out. But federal funds, that's better than knowing that we have to find a state budget for it. But even still, I look at it and think it's not gonna happen quick. And like you said, the plan's been around since the 60s. We just finally got 4-lane of Highway 411 to connect Cherokee County to an interstate. They were one of the few counties in the state that didn't have more than 2-lane access to an interstate. And it took from the 60s until about 2 months ago to finally get it completed. And that was a 12-mile stretch. But anyway. All right, next question. Jeff, what do you got?
Give me a prognostication, guys, here less than an hour away.
Yeah.
Brett Baer versus, yeah. Well, I guess versus isn't fair, but Brett Baer interviewing Kamala Harris. I see high risk, low reward, but that's just me.
I think that, and I'm also hearing that there's a good chance she might go on Joe Rogan, which I look at and go, woo. I mean, Brett Baer is not gonna allow himself to be, you know, categorized in the CBS, you know, dump box. He's not gonna let himself be put into that. You didn't really do a good job, and you edited it thereafter. He's gonna press down. He's gonna ask questions. He's gonna hold her feet to the fire. At some point, he'll back off, go to the next question. But he'll also make it clear she didn't answer if she doesn't answer. I think it's gonna be a hoot. I'm getting the popcorn ready, Dale.
As someone who grew up in a middle-class family, I'm very excited about this. I think this could be her undoing. Does Brett Baer, want to go down as the guy who took out Kamala Harris? Maybe.
Maybe. We'll just listen. I mean, he's got his opportunity. But there are people are saying he's not going to do a good job. I think he will. I think he knows he has to.
Well, you know, I've done a little original reporting on this today. And I was speaking with Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends First, and he said, you know, expect him to push. That's what he told me. He said he expects him to push pretty hard.
I agree. Wrap it up then, Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking on it?
Only thing I worry about is whenever these Fox guys get one of these high-profile interviews, and it's not all of them, but I don't know where Brett Baer will be, and maybe he'll do an honest job, but they want a curry favor. They want to show that they're not your typical right-wing ideologue on Fox News, and they tend to get soft a little bit. The worst offender was always Chris Wallace, but he's gone now.
Oh yeah.
So I expect that it'll probably be fine. The thing that's just a mystery to me though is why would you do this if you're Kamala Harris?
I think she's desperate. I think she's desperate. She knows that every time she's done an interview, that there have been questions about whether it was real or whether it was edited or whether it was, you know, questions given to her in advance. And I think she's desperate. Hey, listen,
nails it, it's a huge deal, right?
And that's true. I think if she nails it, she has the potential to get back some gravitas. But I don't know that she can, to be honest with you. Especially with,
I mean, it's not Kamala Harris. It's going to be hard to nail.
Yeah. And then, next question, real quick.
Why do you continue to be terrible? You can't let that slide, Senator. You gotta reprimand him, okay?
Listen, I've got a red dump button, but we've already passed the 8-second point, so I don't know that I can even get to it now. Real quick, Kamala Harris pandering, pot and money. She's offering black men only, lots of money, and bags of pot. Give me your quick thoughts on this. Dale, you first. Hold the get the red
so
button.
So the argument is black guys, would you like some more drugs and money?
That's exactly it. That's okay. What she's offering, drugs and money.
I think if Trump suggested that, we might be having a very different conversation.
You think? Jeff, what do you got?
No, I agree. I don't know. I don't think it works. There's something just so cringe about her that turns off a lot of people, and that's not going to fix it.
And on that, I think we all know that I agree. Let's take it to a break. That's round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson, who narrowly escaped having the red button pushed. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll come right back. Round two. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Going back to round two right now with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson and me. We call it the Grand Council. So I think the first question is supposed to be Dale. Dale, what pray tell do you have for the group round two?
If you were advising people who are watching this election and just as observers, and they keep talking about the poly markets and the betting markets and all these other things, do you tell them those are a thing, or do we generally just accept that that's just nonsense and it's wish casting?
JP thinks it's a thing.
No, he also thinks that you can't melt steel with jet fuel.
That's not so true.
But I know I'll be honest with you. I think to some degree it's a thing. It's a harbinger of where people's thoughts are and where they're putting their money. It's absolutely new to me that this is a way of gauging things. But heck, you got the bakery that has the cookie poll and it works. You know, so I look at this as being another opportunity to see what the whims of people are saying. And I think if they're willing to put money on something, that it kind of indicates sentiment. So, Jeff, weigh in.
No, this goes back like a couple of cycles. They've been doing this with the prediction markets and what was it, European markets, where it's legal to bet on this or what they use it. But there's also some kind of calculus. They have to set it at a certain point to get it going. I think it's a pretty accurate prognosticator. It just has been over the years. I mean, they got Biden right, and they got it broke for Trump really, really late, if I recall, during the 16 cycle.
It's breaking hard for Trump right now. I mean, he's up like we were talking earlier. He's up like 12 points over just where he was last week. Kind of a significant bump in the poly market. Your own thoughts there, real quick, Dale. What are you thinking?
I don't know, man. I think it's a momentum thing, no question about it.
It is that. Polls, yeah.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on the whole thing. That's why I brought it up.
There's a legitimate science to it. And it's not just, you know, money. And I mean, that's part of it. But there really is. Like, hey, let's look at this, the polling and how that changed over the decades and historical precedent. I think there's a science to it that's legitimate.
All right. Next question, Jeff Rowe. What you got for us?
There is absolutely no way these Big Ten mayors in this state think that they can get permitless carry repealed. Do they really believe that?
By the way, are all Big Ten really on board with that?
So they say they're not. We called, we had a reporter call Sandy Stimson. He and Mercado are only two to really respond to us and say, no, there's not really anything to this. I think maybe three or four of them are, but there's no way you'd get all Big Ten on this.
No,
but that's what Woodfin and Reed are telegraphing.
Woodfin and Reed also telegraph a lot of things, but I look at it and go, no, there's no way in the world Tommy Battle's going to recognize the winds of change have brought him around to being let's get rid of the permitless carry. It's not going to happen, and the idea that the whole Big Ten. And for those who don't know, it's the top 10 biggest, not top 10, but the biggest 10 cities in the state of Alabama are called the Big Ten mayors. I do not see it happening. Can't believe it. I think Woodfin is blowing smoke. Woodfin, oh, by the way, needs to distract from his own failings on the issues. And so the idea that he's co-opting other people by saying, well, there's other people like me that agree. Well, how about you name them, big boy? Dale.
Senator, can you name all 10? Because I think Jeff Poore is the only person in the state, including the 10 that are there, that can actually name all 10.
If you gave me a few minutes, I might. But no, not right now.
I could
do 6, 7. I can get there. Anyway, Dale, your thoughts?
I think they're just wish casting here. I don't think they have any desire to actually do this. Woodfin and Reed just want to appear like they're in the middle of something that's happening. They finally arrested somebody in Birmingham, by the way, for the Five Point South mass shooting.
Yeah.
Here. He's killed 6 people in 3 days, apparently. So this guy is wow. not a good guy. Wow. And they've got him off the streets. And Glock switches are now made him do it. So hopefully they arrest those, too.
Well, let's keep the theme going then, because my next question was on Woodfin and Reed. I did notice a difference, though. Woodfin came out recently, and he wants a new study group to decide how best to fight crime. We need a study group. We need some thinkers to sit around and think and talk and whiteboard this thing and figure out how to. But I will say this. It appears that down in Montgomery, Stephen Reed and the other folks down there that lead those areas, they just formed a joint task force, and they've been out arresting people. Am I wrong, or am I seeing a divergence in how the two most liberal mayors in the state are handling things, and one of them appears to have got it right? Your thoughts on it, Jeff?
I'm still not convinced that Montgomery is in the clear, and that this is really what it's going to take, this task force. I think it's, you know, they just got a green light, some changes at the police department. But you're right about that. There is a divergence. There seems to be more of a surrender to the experts with Montgomery than there is Birmingham.
Dale Jackson, what say you?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. One wants to do something about it right now. The other wants to do yet another study. And I just don't know if the studies are going to lead you to anything other than, you know what you should do? You should put some people in jail and leave them there. I think we all know the answer to the studies, but they're going to do it anyway. And Reed's like, somebody help me. And the attorney general's like, well, our office is here, so I guess we'll help you.
Well, I mean, I think in political speak, the word study means we don't want to deal with it, so we'll pretend we're dealing with it by putting it into a committee where it can get studied. And that's how you delay and or obfuscate and or just don't do it.
He didn't call any of us to be in the committee.
You know, if he had called us, we could have rectified the entire situation.
But doesn't it seem like every couple of months this loser does this? He has a press conference, talks about some new initiative that they thought of, and the crime continues to get worse.
Yeah, and the population continues to get smaller because everybody's leaving.
Or getting killed.
And yeah, that too. All right, fellas, we're up against it. Appreciate you both. Jeff Poore, 1819 News, and the host of the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, and Dale Jackson, writing for Yellowhammer News. But, oh, by the way, he's the program guy / host at WVNN up in Huntsville, the Grand Council, with just little old me added in for, I don't know, color commentary. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.